Hello and welcome to the second episode of Hashing Out the Marks with Chris Lowry. I'm Chris Lowry, and today we'll be talking about Tom Brady's four-game suspension, Sam Bradford wanting out from Philly, and some Jets talk. So first, let me start off with Tom Brady and his recent four-game suspension for Deflategate. So as you all know, two years ago in the Patriots playoff game versus the Colts, it was reported that the balls were deflated a bit, and there's been chaos for the past 2 years now about what should be the Patriots' suspension, and what should they get penalized for, and how long, or whatever. So the NFL decided to take away their first-round draft pick this year, so they don't have the 30th pick or whatever they would be at this year. So right now there's only 31 draft picks in the first round. So they got their pick taken away for first round. And everyone thought that would be the end of it. Everyone, Patriots and Tom Brady, was hoping that Deflategate would be over with and they'd never have to talk about it again because it's finally resolved. But no. Yesterday it was reported that a judge or something decided, I don't know, the NFL was taking it to court still, and they decided that Tom Brady's going to get a four-game suspension. So being a Jet fan, I was really happy because I just want the Patriots to fail. And even though the Jets aren't playing them in those first four games, it still affects the standings and the division and help the Bills out and other teams because they won't have their leader, Tom Brady. So they get the suspension, and so now the Patriots and Tom Brady, they're obviously fighting it, taking legal action to reduce it or get rid of it. But what surprises me is that the Patriots don't get their first-round pick back because they were already serving the other suspension and now in the other penalization for taking away the first round pick. And now they're also having Tom Brady taken away the first four games. So I think they should at least give him the picks back, you know, and that's coming from not a biased Patriot fan. This is someone who hates them, but understands that it's not fair to take away two things. Anyway, though, so the first four games the Patriots will be playing that they won't have Brady in is the Cardinals for the first week, Texans, Dolphins, and Bills. I don't know if it's the right order, but that's teams they're playing. So they're lucky they can pretty much chalk that as a W right now, because other than Tom Brady, there's really nothing else on the team to be scared of. You know, because they'll have Gronk or whatever, but they have no other backup quarterback. The backup quarterback right now is Jimmy Garoppolo, and he has never started a game in his career, hasn't had substantial playing time during the regular season, only preseason. So the quarterback's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo, and they really don't have anyone at wide receiver. Like, Julian Edelman is a subpar wide receiver, and people make him out to be so great because he has Tom Brady. But they do have weapons in Martellus Bennett, newly acquired tight end, and Gronkowski. And their defense is just average. Like, they have some good players, and they just trade away one of their best, Chandler Jones, this offseason to the Cardinals. So they have, like, three good players on defense, and they have a shitty offensive line. And if it wasn't for Tom Brady, even he struggled when he was in. So with Jimmy Garoppolo playing with that shitty offensive line, it's just going to be a disaster on offense and for those first 4 weeks for Bill Belichick. But Bill Belichick loves a challenge, and he pretty much likes to win and try to succeed with the lowest possible players he has because they're all really bad. But as long as he has Tom Brady, it's okay because quarterback can solve and hide a lot of problems that a team has. So I'm going to stick with a quarterback and go to the Eagles. And everyone knows about them trading up to number 2 from 8 to 2. And they're most likely going to select Carson Wentz or Jared Goff, whoever the Rams take first. So whoever the Rams take first, the Eagles are going to get. So say they get Carson Wentz next year going into the camp, they're going to have Carson Wentz, Sam Bradford, and Chase Daniels. And all of them are basically backups and one glorified starter, which is Sam Bradford. So yesterday, there were reports coming out that Bradford wants to be traded, and which is understandable because he wants to be a long-term solution at quarterback for a team, any team really. He just wants to start. And this kid was pretty much given everything in his NFL career. You know, he was handed the first, the starting job when he was the first overall pick for the Rams in 2010. So for those first couple of years when he wasn't hurt, he was the starter no matter what. And then he gets traded to Philly last year to the Eagles, and they start him. There was really no competition. He had like Sanchez, who was a starter too, and blew his chance. So you have him starting a quarterback, and he's really injury prone too, and he just wants to be the starting quarterback, and he hasn't really faced like diversity in his NFL career so far. So now that they trade up to number two, and they're most likely going to get a quarterback, he is going to have to fight to win that starting job. And even if he does play better than him in a couple of years, Carson Wentz is going to take over the job, because the Eagles mortgage their future to get to number two and to select a quarterback for the future. And obviously they don't see Sam Bradford as that, and he would like to be seen as the starting quarterback for the future of the franchise. So he's pissed right now, and he wants out of Philly, which is understandable. I get it. He doesn't want to be a bridge quarterback, even though he signed a 2-year deal, but he's made a lot of money anyway. But yeah, he doesn't want to be a bridge quarterback anywhere. He wants to be the starting gig. He wants a starting gig. So he should be traded somewhere. So Eagles should try to, like, even though they probably won't, they should try to get some compensation, because they just lost a bunch of picks when they're trading up to number two. Problem is, though, no one's going to take Sam Bradford's contract. He's too injury prone. He hasn't proved to be a good starting quarterback. And the contract he has right now has a lot of guaranteed money on it. I think it's like $11 million. So a team looking to trade for him is going to have to eat that cap number up. So so whatever team gets him has to take that. And there's probably only like one team right now. And this is a problem, another problem. It's late in May now. Teams already know what the roster is going to look like. They already have their answer at quarterback going into the next season, except for like the Jets and the Broncos. So those are the two teams that are most likely going to be interested in trading for him. And even me saying the Jets, it's not going to happen. You know, they're still focused on trying to re-sign Fitzpatrick. And even if they don't have the money to take Bradford's contract. And it's pretty much Sam Bradford and Fitzpatrick are pretty much in the same boat, in that they haven't proven a lot so far in their career, and they're asking for a huge amount of money. And Sam Bradford got that money. But the Broncos, I can definitely see looking to trade for Bradford, because they just freed up a lot of cap space by trading Ryan Clady to the Jets, and they're still looking for their quarterback. And it looks like Colin Kaepernick's not going to be traded to the Broncos, even though it was very close for him to be traded. It was really close for that to happen, but it didn't. And so the Broncos are still looking for a quarterback answer right now, and Bradford might be it. They have the cap space because they created enough cap space for Kaepernick, but he wanted more or something like that. So if they trade for Bradford, you probably get a better player than Kaepernick too, because you don't know what Kaepernick is. Because the last two seasons, he really just been playing really bad. And Bradford is average. You know, when he's healthy, he can be pretty good when he's healthy. So they should trade for him, I think. If not, you have next year going in with Mark Sanchez and, like, I don't know, some rookie they drafted last year, 2 years ago. So you're going into camp with no one really to play at quarterback. And even if they draft someone this year, they're at 31 because they just won the Super Bowl. So they're really late in the first round. So whoever they pick is going to be the fourth best quarterback prospect and won't be ready to start day one. You know, people probably compare him to whoever they draft with, like Teddy Bridgewater, and he came in and started immediately. But Teddy Bridgewater was so much more NFL ready, than any of the prospects coming in this year, and he fell to 30. That just shows you how great that quarterback class was 2 years ago, with Blake Bortles going first, Johnny Manziel going before Teddy Bridgewater. Whoever they get won't be ready to start day one. So the reality is that Sanchez is your best option, whoever they decide to go with at starting quarterback. So it'll be interesting to see how they figure out their quarterback situation next year, with probably Mark Sanchez starting at the realm, but you know, maybe he can do a good job with like big wide receivers like Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders is a shifty guy, and they just have a really good offense, and Sanchez never really had that. And he, for a couple games, he looked good in Philadelphia last year when he had Jordan Matthews and their tight ends like Zach Ertz. But yeah, like he never had those weapons like he did with the Jets. So, but here's the thing with Sanchez is like after, and I think I've talked about this before in my last podcast, but he always does well for a game or two. And then once he gets too much attention and there's hype for him, he just crumbles. So he looks good for a game or two. And then next week comes out and everyone's expecting him to play really well. He just plays like shit and throws three interceptions. So, but maybe with Denver next year, he can just, with that really strong defense and a lot of good weapons, he can figure it out and probably play better than Peyton Manning did last year and better than Brock Osweiler did last year. So, I don't know. Sanchez isn't a terrible option, and I still think they should draft someone with that 31st pick, but for the future, but Sanchez is pretty good right now. Like, he's better than, I don't know, Bradford or anyone else. Like, because just because he stays healthy, you know, Bradford is such a wild card, and he's such a wild card with the injury risk, so they can't really rely on him. So I think Sanchez actually isn't a bad option if you really look into it, because he took the Jets to two AFC championships when he had that strong defense, and the Broncos' defense is better than what the Jets had in 2009, 2010. So. I don't know, maybe it can take them to an AFC championship game. There'd be a lot of media attention on that Broncos team with Sanchez there too. I'm going to go on record right now and say that Sanchez is going to be a starting quarterback next season and going to lead them to 10 wins or 9. I mean, I have to see their schedule, but anyway. Coming out today that I feel like this is the thing that I do every podcast, every episode, Johnny Manziel got in trouble again. He's been indicted for something with his ex-girlfriend, and it's just more issues. I feel like everyone's going to forget about him, and by next year, he's just going to be the next Jamarcus Russell and any other player who just kept getting legal issues piled on, and I don't know. Teams will just forget about him soon. I think that really was probably the last opportunity he had, and he blew that away by getting indicted again. So, I don't know. His issues are far beyond what any NFL team can handle or would want to handle within their organization. So I think he just definitely screwed up now. And I don't want to say the name Johnny Manziel again ever, because it's just getting repetitive with just him, legal issues, being in trouble. He'll never get signed. You know, no team's going to touch him unless they're really desperate. Like, I guarantee you he won't be signed on a team this year or maybe even next year, but his name will come up 2 years from now when he's broke and he needs money and he's desperate and he's probably 30 pounds overweight and he's not good anymore, but some team will take him into training camp just for competition. But yeah, so he's in trouble again. Just wanted to give you an update on that because I don't really want to talk about it, so... All right, now for my favorite topic ever, the New York Jets and the draft. I'm going to have a mock draft out this Thursday in 2 days on the day of the draft, like a couple hours before. So, but I'm going to give you a preview on the Jets pick because I want to get into it right now. And I hope, and I made it for the draft, that the Jets select Noah Spence, defensive end/outside linebacker from Eastern Kentucky. I know he's a wild card and he's a gamble pick for them, but if you really look into his situation, he's not just another one of those guys that got in trouble in college and will fix himself in pro ball. But, and I hate to say that because everyone always says that about a prospect like Manziel. But he really, like, if you really look into it, I know he got kicked out of the SEC and got kicked out of Ohio State for failing 2 drug tests, but they weren't like the drugs he was. Wait, like it wasn't just weed, it was ecstasy, and ecstasy is a pill drug. It's not something you really get addicted to. Like, it's not an addictive drug, ecstasy. So, like, you never hear about people getting addicted to ecstasy like you do. Like, people don't ruin their lives over ecstasy like you do when you hear about that with, like, cocaine and heroin and kind of marijuana. Like, Josh Gordon has figured out a way to ruin his life through marijuana. But you don't really hear about that with ecstasy. So he got kicked out of the SEC and went to Eastern Kentucky and racked up, like 13 sacks last year. And the funny thing is, the top prospect right now, outside linebacker prospect, is Leonard Floyd, and he got 4 sacks last year. And I know the draft isn't necessarily just about high school, college production and the stats you put up, and teams really get focused on their weight, their height, and raw talent that they bring to the table. And teams always think they can just develop him into good players, but, like, look what happened with Quinn Coples in 2012. You know, they drafted a guy who had all the intangibles and had all the... He fit the bill at outside linebacker. Well, actually, he didn't, because they transitioned him from a defensive end outside linebacker and turned out really bad. But he fit the bill, and they went ahead and drafted him, thinking they could develop him into an outside linebacker, and they cut him last year. You know, wasted first-round pick. So I don't want to get a guy that they think they can develop, but they probably can't. I want a guy that showed production in college and knows how to be an outside linebacker. Like, the guy, Leonard Floyd, looks like a glorified tight end. You know, he's 6'6 and is slimmer than me. And I know you can't see me, but I'm slim. So he I don't know if he can really rely on power or anything. Like, outside linebacker, you need a combination of speed, first step ability, and power, and he's really, really slim, so he'll just rely on speed. And left tackles, the ones in the NFL, are really athletic and will just push him down. So I don't know if I used to love Leonard Floyd, but I don't know if I really like him anymore. And but now they're all projecting that he's going to go before 20 now, so I'm happy. But Noah Spence is the guy for the Jets if they want to get it right outside linebacker this year. I would be really happy if they go offensive tackle too. I know it's not a sexy pick, but it's a safe pick, and it would just fill a need. You know, they would be able to cut Giacomini, save cap room there, and they maybe develop him into a left tackle once Ryan Clady leaves. So a left tackle or a right tackle would be a great pick there at 20. I just don't know who would they really pick, because Taylor Decker, it goes like, after you get through the first three or two offensive tackles, it goes, what's his name? The guy from the offensive tackle from Michigan State, who's really good, who's looking mid-round, teens, and then Taylor Decker, who I've seen fall at 20. So if they would get the guy at Michigan State or Noah Spence, I'd be really happy in this draft. It never goes how you want it to go, so I don't really, not really relying on my pick too much, but hopefully Bowles and McCagnon will make the right decision and get the outside linebacker they really need, because if you look at the roster right now, there's no outside linebacker starting day one. It goes David Harris and Aaron Henderson, an inside linebacker, and the second-year guy, Lorenzo Maldin, who was drafted in the third on last year and is projected to be starting outside linebacker this year. So that's three out of the four positions filled, and they have a hole, a big hole, on the other side, outside linebacker. So opposite Lorenzo, they need someone there, and they have no one on the roster. So I think they're hoping the draft will provide that guy. I think they're relying on that to fill a hole there. So I think, and I know McNagnon really likes to take best player available, but Noah Spence is a really good player. Like, if it wasn't for his issues off the field, he would probably be a top 10 pick or early teens pick, but everyone's scared off because of the ecstasy. Also, I just wanted to, I have like little nuggets about the draft, and I know I said previously in other podcasts that it's smart to keep those late round picks because it provides ammunition to trade up or trade a player or anything, to trade for a player, and people like, because you never trade late round draft picks are used for many things that don't include drafting a player. So you use a sixth or seventh round pick to trade for trade bait and trade ammunition. And you use it to, this is the only thing I like drafting. This is the only position that I would like the Jets to pick, or any team to pick, with the seventh overall pick or sixth overall pick or sixth round pick. And it's a kicker or punters. Great punters always get drafted. The last punter that was taken like really, really high was, or kicker, was Mike Nugent by the Jets in the second round in 2006. That's the most absurd thing I've ever heard. And he's not even on the Jets anymore. Like, you'd think that if they valued him that much to use a second round pick, they would resign him. But no, he was on the team for a couple years and went to like the fucking Bengals. So that was dumb. But like, I think they need to get a punter. And hopefully they're relying on the draft for that too, because you can get a really good punter if you use like a fifth round pick or sixth round pick on him. And even a kicker, they have no kicker. You know, I think they still have Nick Folk, but like, they need new special teams, because that's where the Jets have really lacked the past couple of years. And it's such a undervalued position, but it can really change a game. You know, field position really changes the game. So getting a great punter, I think, is better than getting a great kicker, because punter is harder to find, first of all, and you can affect the game more punting than you can kicking. So if you get, because most kickers can hit 35, 40-yard kicks, and that's most of the time the generic field position you're at when you go for a field goal, which is 3 points. But only a few kickers can really hit 50-yarders, and even then, they're like, how much do those 3 points change a game? I think field position, so getting a great kicker that can pin a team in their own 10 or 5-yard line, is way more valued than a kicker. And the Jets have had a shitty, shitty kicker the past couple of years, and Ryan Quigley, and finally they released him or didn't re-sign him, and now he's with like the Eagles or something. So if they use a 6th-round pick or someone or something around that, like around that on the draft board, if they get a punter, I'll be really happy too. But yeah, that's just my thing about later on draft picks. So that'll be all for this episode of Hashing Out the Marks with Chris Lowry. Tune in Thursday for my mock draft. I'll have a whole special on that. And sorry I didn't post anything last Thursday. I didn't get a chance to record anything. And thank you for tuning in to Hashing Out the Marks with Chris Lowry. I'll see you next time.